Good day and welcome to the National All VR call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Regina Bowden. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our quarterly All VR call. Actually, it's the last call for this fiscal year. Let's see, I think the last call we had was on April the 11th, so it's been quite a while since we last met. But I wanted to thank everyone for joining us today. I hope everyone's having a good summer. We do have a full agenda for today and with some important updates to share. And then, as typical with these calls, we will open up the line for questions. But before we get started, I wanted to just give a shout-out or a thank you for those who participated in our comprehensive VR two-day training. Since we last had our all VR call, we've actually had three training classes. We had one in April, in which we had 11 people who attended, and one in June, and we had three people, I think, and then we had another one a couple of weeks ago in July, and we had a couple of managers who attended. But these classes, we conduct those on a regular basis, and they're open to anyone, and it's so that we can provide you with comprehensive training about the ticket program and our cost reimbursement process. So if you have staff who are interested in attending any of these classes, just have them let us know by the help desk or by contacting Linda Custard. So just wanted to give a plug for our training. And we have gotten some really good feedback about the participants who have attended this training. So, again, if you're interested in the training, please let us know. So without further delay, I am going to turn the call over to Danielle, who has a lot of updates on the VR cost reimbursement. Danielle?
Thank you, Regina. Hello, everybody. I am going to go through a few updates. What we want to do pretty much today is kind of go through your frequently asked questions, things that people have sent in, and a lot of stuff that we've been seeing on the help desk from different agencies. So we want to kind of touch on those. Katie's going to go into a lot of the things with the portal. She has some updates for that. I know that's probably the hot topic, but I do have a couple things. One of the first things I want to get to is the paper cases. Right now, all of the paper claims that we had gotten in before we did the transition to the new system have been input. So anything that you've mailed in prior to the transition, if you do not see it on your pending payments list in the portal, you should upload those or enter those into the portal. If you have any questions regarding that, reach out to the VR help desk. Also along those lines, we are still continuing to process claims first in, first out. You may see a difference in that just because of now the rate that you can upload cases. Before, since it was a mail process, nobody was printing and mailing 500 cases at once. But we do have instances where we've had 500 cases uploaded in a day. So you may see that lag because they are still first in, first out right now. Everyone is processing cases on a daily basis. That was one of the questions I had gotten recently. There's no lag right now. The only lag we had was we did stop processing for the 2 weeks that we transitioned to the new system, but all processing has resumed now. We've had a couple questions in a couple instances where we've had where you mailed us in a paper case, but then you uploaded it to the portal, so it gave a duplicate. We just asked, like I said, now all of the paper cases you sent in have been input, so you should see that on your list. If you don't, then that's fine to upload. If you do already see it on your list, we just ask that you don't upload the same claim because that'll cause that duplicate issue. And if you do upload it, you will get multiple denials because we have the case on file, the only way for us to close it out will be to issue that denial. So if you send us a case, we do have to send a response back, and it may just be that it was a duplicate. As far as reporting issues, we want you to continue doing that through the VR help desk. That includes the systems issues. Katie's going to get into a lot of those things, but Katie and the folks she has working with her have direct access to the VR help desk. One of the questions I was asked or the comments was that the information wasn't getting forwarded. There is no lag. There is no forward process. She has direct access, so she does see all of your issues. It just may be a thing where there is no update or it's been forwarded to our systems area and we're waiting to hear back from them. Katie will get into that. And the last thing I wanted to do was just thank all of the VRs, really, for bearing with us through this transition to the new system. There have been several bumps, we know. We're trying to work through those as quickly as we possibly can. We appreciate all of you guys who we've been able to reach out to and say, hey, can you try this real quick? Hey, can you send me a copy of this? Those things have been a great help to us, and it's been able to provide more detailed information to get over to our systems folks so that we can get some of these things done. Like I said, Katie will go into more detail, but I just want to also kind of put out there, as you all are aware, things run off of budget. So some of the budget constraints have been some of the reasons that some of the things haven't been moving as quickly and getting fixed as quickly as we would like them to. But we are hard at work at that. We are working with our systems areas to get it done. A lot of the things that you've sent in, we know are issues, and we've been actually working on some of them before you even reported them. I won't say too much because I'll let Katie go through the different issues to give you updates on those. But just thank you for bearing with us. Thank you for helping us when you can. Anything that you see, by all means, please send it in to us. Send us a screenshot. The screens that we see on our end are different from yours. So when the help desk come back to you and say, well, can you show me this? Can you give me a screenshot? It's just because theirs look different, and what you send in to us will be a great help to help systems to figure out what the issues are and try to get those taken care of. Before I turn it over to Katie, which I know you're all waiting on pins and needles for, Raquel is going to give a couple more updates.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Raquel Donaldson. Just a few things to go over. For current earnings, we are now receiving the data every month, as opposed to quarterly like we used to. On the 15th of each month, we're receiving information in regards to earnings. So we're getting information in much quicker. It's basically a screenshot. Like for now, whatever comes in August 15th is any earnings that have been reported. I'm kind of smiling to myself because August 15th is Danielle's birthday, which she always reminds us. So any information we'll receive on August 15th is any employer who has reported earnings from July 16th through August 15th. So that's a good thing. We'll be getting much more earnings in on a quicker basis now. Yay. For additional requested information, so if you receive a PBR notice or a C3 or any type of notice that we send you requesting additional information, you cannot email that information to us or fax that information to us. It should be going directly into the portal. I believe in the ticket portal guide, it gives you instructions on creating the cover sheet where that information goes. It's entirely too much information for a PBR documentation to come back to us via the fax or mailing or emailing. So any information that we request, it has to come back through, and it automatically goes through the portal. It automatically matches it up to that case and lets us know that that case is now ready to be worked and that we've received additional information. Anything that we're receiving via the fax or email or mail, coming right back to you. Just FYI. And this is because when you send it in via the portal, it automatically attaches it to the work case. So, again, we're able to quickly turn around and work it and get it out of the system. Regina's already touched on the on-site training. You can send any request to the VR help desk in regards to that. And just know we like to do the training whenever you all request the training. So there's no set time or dates for us where we're not allowing, unless it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. We're not allowing the training. We try to cater it to whoever makes the request to come to see us in Baltimore. So if you do have a request, feel free to reach out to the VR Help Desk, and Linda Custis and or Gloria Blow will help you get that all set up. Payment release date. I just want to say something quick about the payment release date so everyone understands exactly what payment release date means. Not everyone has a payment release date. If you have never touched base with me in regards to requesting a certain date each month that you want your payments released, then you don't have a payment release date. That means as your claims are worked on a daily basis, whenever they worked, then they automatically go out. Some VRs have chosen to have their payments held till one day, one particular day in each month. So if your payment release day is the 1st of August, that means all the payments that are worked for that past month are held on August 1st. That is the date that those reimbursements go to our finance department. That is not the day that you're going to receive payments or wires. It would be about 7 to 10 days after that date. That's just the FYI for some folks that are get a little confused and are looking for their payments on that date. You still have to allow 7 to 10 days for it to actually, the request to go to finance and for the wire transfer to actually go out. Now, as far as the notices are concerned, the notices are not held. Whether you have a payment release date or not, they go out as the claims are processed. And I know we've been having issues with some VRs that aren't receiving their notices. That's something that Katie will touch on as well. State VR directory. Every 6 months, I try to update the, I update the state VR directory. I send it out to your regional coordinators, and then they request information for you if you have any updates in regards to your director, interim director, if you know you're retiring or someone else is retiring, any information that gets updated. You don't have to wait until that 6 months to send me that information. I'd prefer to get it on a regular basis, but I just finished compiling the updated directory, so you should receive it before the end of this week. And I usually send it to the regional coordinators, and I send it to all of my SSA coordinators as well. Lastly, the cost formula fiscal year 18 is already upon us, and next month I will be emailing, again, my SSA coordinator and the director of the agency just to let you guys know it's that time to start preparing your information. Usually give it till about March of the following year as my cutoff to receive it. Again, that's just my cutoff, but, of course, it, just to let you know, you just can't get paid until you've sent in your cost formula information and it's been approved by me and you've received an approval letter from me. One last thing I want to touch on, Danielle just mentioned duplicate claims because sometimes you get paper claims and then you upload the claims. There's also times, not often, that you discover that you have a claim that you absolutely didn't want to submit. If you discover that, you can email the help desk or contact Shada or myself, and we are able to delete the claims from the portal without them being processed. So that's just an FYI. Anyone who discovers they have a claim that they just want to get rid of or and didn't mean to upload, let us know the work case number, and we can delete that on our end. That is all I have for today. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the woman of the hour, Katie.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. I have quite a bit of information here. I'm going to go slow. I just want to let you all know that we do post, after the call, we do post a transcript of what happened and the questions. So if you feel like you missed something, please just wait, and it will be available on the website for you to refer to if you have any questions. And once again, the VR Help Desk is always here to answer your questions. I want to let you know something that you may have heard if you've emailed the Help Desk, but if you haven't, since our last call in April, we have not been able to have a systems release to correct the systems issues we are having. So I know that you have been reporting these issues since April, and thank you so much for everything you do to help us troubleshoot and find problems so they can get fixed. But at this point, we haven't been able to actually release this to you so that you can see the corrections that we want to go in. So please know that, you know, we hear you. We want this to be fixed as much as you do.
but we have not been able to have a release yet to fix it. And once we do, we hope to correct most of these issues that are causing everyone a lot of heartburn, both you and us. I want to highlight a few of the issues. Once again, this will be a transcript will be available after the call, which will have more details about this. So if you miss anything I'm saying, this will be available for you. The first thing is notices, as both Danielle and Raquel mentioned. Payment notices are currently being mailed when a payment is approved by the VR team. That means that you may get a notice before you actually get the payment in your bank account. We know this causes confusion, and we are planning to correct this problem. Another problem with notices is that denial notices do not currently include the CP of SGA on the form. I know that makes it difficult to decide if you can resubmit the claim. We are planning to correct this problem as well. Another problem, some notices are not being mailed. We are planning to correct this problem as well. Another area where we're having problems is payments, and this is portal related. If you are receiving the message unexpected error when you try to submit a single claim to the screen, this is a known issue. We have not been able to have a release to fix this yet. If you get the message unexpected error, please just you're just going to have to wait to submit the claim through the portal if that's the way you want to do it. We will not penalize you because you couldn't get it through, but we have not been able to implement the code fix that would let you submit a claim through. If you have the ability to upload an XML file, I would suggest doing that. We do not have problems with XML files going through, but some people who receive that message, unexpected error, cannot get past it. Something is not working correctly no matter what you do. There is no trick or workaround to that issue. We apologize for that, but once again, we haven't been able to put the fix in and yet, and as soon as we do, that will go through. Another item, through the XML file, sometimes if you submit a file of claims, one or two claims may say the message claim validated, no errors found, the errors encountered in saving the claim. This means that the work case was not created. So let's say you submit a file of 100 claims and you get this for one. You just need to resubmit that one transaction, that one payment request in another file. The rest of your cases work through and they did make a work case, but you will, if you go look in your pending cases, you will see that that one work case that the issue had is not in there. So with that, there's just some kind of error in the transmission of things going through and you can resubmit it without a problem. Right now, the portal does not accept reconsideration or supplemental claims for cases processed prior to March of 2017. This has to do with the data conversion we had, switching from one system to another. Right now, the way to get around this is to submit your claim for a reconsideration or a supplemental as an initial claim in the portal. Please make sure when you do this that you put in the remarks what you are doing, that you this is a case before March 2017, it's a reconsideration, what you're trying to do, and make it clear that you couldn't get it through in the portal. If you do not put that in the remarks, your case is going to be denied. So that's the workaround for that. The next section will be reports. We are aware and we are waiting to get this to you. The portal VR payments already made to me screen does not include denials. The payments already made to me screen has a limit of about 1,000 records. So if you, in the history of your VR, have had more than 1,000 payments, you're not going to see anything when you first go to the screen. So you're going to need to go in there and pick a date range. You can pick as many date ranges as you want to get records to appear on the screen. You also have the option to download it to Excel. I recommend downloading it to Excel because it's a lot more workable there in Excel than it is on a screen. Right now, denials do not appear on that screen. The invoice number does not appear on that screen or in the Excel spreadsheet. That will be, both of these items are going to be fixed soon. Another thing that happens is there is a payment status date. That date actually does change as the work case goes through different statuses in our system. It says the word will say approved, but you'll see the date change. It'll be approved in July, approved in August, and then you'll notice the date stops moving and it'll stay like a final date. It's because the approved status is actually the word there is supposed to change. You're supposed to know that it has been approved and then it's pending, and then it's paid. You're actually supposed to see the word paid, letting you know that is the debt date was a date the check was actually cashed from Treasury. That is not working. It's not in sync right now. So you'll see a status making you think it's paid, but the date could still change. The statuses are something like be approved by the VR team, accepted by SOARD, and paid by Treasury. This is going to be corrected when we have our next release. So I do apologize for this confusion. I know you'll think something is paid in 1 month, and then you'll go, and the next month the claim has almost, like, moved, like it switched from one to another. It is actually the work case changing different statuses. It's just not as clear as it should be. And once again, we are planning to correct this problem as soon as we can. All of these items we are planning to correct in the future. We are just waiting for a release to make these corrections. Another thing, this has been caused by the limited resources we have. Another report that has been affected by this is the QBER file. We do plan to reinstate this for you. This will be coming in the future, but it will most likely be in the springtime. So we will keep you posted on that. We got a couple questions about that, and we did promise it's coming, and it is coming. It's just not going to be as soon as we would like. I do have a couple of gentle reminders. The first is if you are using the ticket portal and the new VR payment functionality and you have not had a chance to download the ticket portal user guide, please do that. Please go and check the user guide before emailing the VR help desk. A lot of questions we get are basic things that are in the user guide and were included in the VR training. Please go there first. It is the resource that we want to put you towards. If you send a question to VR help desk, you may get the answer. We'll please check page 49. So please go there first. If you have any questions about how to get access to the user guide, please send that to the VR help desk, and we'll get you set up. The next section is ticket assignment. Just a reminder, the portal requires before you open a case that you have both the SSN and the matching first name and last name that's on SSA's records. We cannot tell you beneficiary's name if you cannot assign the ticket via the portal. We could tell you if, don't use the middle name or the middle name is wrong, but we're not going to actually give you the name that you need to have there. So the best thing for you to do is to check with the beneficiary. Also, do not submit old case openings and closures using the portal. The portal will open and close cases with the exact dates that you provide. You open cases several years old. What you're doing is causing the beneficiary to receive a notice about a case old case opening and closure, and the first thing they do is call the helpline because they're confused. All VRs are expected to submit the files on a monthly basis, so we're expecting that our records are up to date. I know there are instances where you take over from another person or you go and you see that some records aren't right. They do not match. We encourage you to go and make sure that your records match ours. But if you find a problem and want to reconcile your records in SSA's records, please contact the VR help desk before you do anything with old case openings and closures. I know this is a lot of information. Once again, this information will be posted after the call. We had a lot of information here based on your frequently asked questions. And I'm going to hand it over to Raquel.
Thank you, Katie. And I guess we can go ahead, operator, and open up the line for any questions, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off. Again, that is star 1 for questions. And we'll go first to Eugenia Cox.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Eugenia.
Okay. A couple questions. I think it was Danielle that mentioned that if you don't see your claim on the pending list, to go ahead and resubmit it. Now, we don't know if those claims that are not on the pending list didn't get denied. So would we check with the help desk first before we try to resubmit it because they're not on the pending list?
Yes, definitely. If you know you sent it in and you don't see it anywhere, please check with check with the help desk first. And if we don't see it, then we'll be the ones to definitely let you know to go ahead and send it in again.
Okay, yeah, because, we don't – and our denial notifications come – we hardly get any. So it's kind of these claims are in limbo. So I know there's ones that have been denied, but we just don't get the notifications. And the other – two more questions. The other question is that is the – is the portal being fixed for assigning, putting tickets in use for us when the person is not in current pay? Because I'm still getting lots of those.
Hi, Eugenia. I can answer that one. That is a much bigger systems issue. We are not facing that in the upcoming release, no.
Okay, yeah, because what's happening is because it's in use with us, we're submitting claims, and they're getting denied because the persons were not, people were not in current pay. So, you know, it's just denials for us that are, we're getting deemed for when we shouldn't even have submitted that claim in the first place. And then, let's see, I think...
Right, yeah, I mean, we understand it is quite a complex issue that we're trying to get to the bottom of. I mean, we're giving beneficiaries DDR protection they shouldn't have, so we completely understand the enormity of the problem where it's just a much bigger fix.
And then one last thing is that, you know, the reference number that you guys put on the claim isn't a reference number that's used, the actual invoice number when it comes into Treasury. But I know that you guys actually have reports that have both those numbers together. Is that something you're looking at fixing so that we know what the invoice number is that our Treasury is seeing instead of just the reference number that they don't see?
Hi, Eugenia. Yes, the invoice number will be included in the VR payments already made to me in the portal in the upcoming release.
Okay, and that's that really long VR number, right, that's on Treasury?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the invoice number. Yes, we will be adding that. Okay.
Good, because we get there's a lot of confusion trying to match up the payments with Treasury.
Yeah, we hear you on that one. Like I said, we want to put these fixes in production for you guys, and we have not been able to yet. We feel your pain.
Okay, and I think that's it. Thank you.
And we'll move next to Gina Hout.
Hi, so I just have two hopefully fast questions. One, when do you anticipate this release coming? Hello?
Katie, you there?
Oh, there.
I'm afraid I don't have an answer for that. We do not have a date set in stone yet. We are waiting to get one soon.
Okay, and then the paper reports that come, so like the ones that I just got one today, and it says for July. Now, are those claims that were processed June and released in July, or are those claims that were processed in July? Because I track like what I'm getting, and the number I have matches up what I show being released to our VR in July, so it would have been June processing. I'm just trying to grasp the paper report so I know where I'm at with that.
Gina, it's Raquel. Let me make sure I understand. So the notice of determination you received has a July date or a June date?
It says, my supervisor sent it to me. It's the ones that you send out to all the states. You know, the monthly reports that you send out to all the VRs. So it has a July date on it. We received it, let me see when she received it, just a couple of days ago or today. She got it, the year-to-date report, she got on 8/8, and it is for July 2017. It matches my payment that came in July, but I'm already on to, like, a payment. Like, I already have a different number for the payment of stuff that was processed in July but released on the August 1st release date. So I guess I'm curious as to what's on the report. Is it the release, like the payments released, or is it what was processed?
It's everything through July 31st. So anything that your payment release date is August 1st. So nothing that was released on August 1st should be on there.
Okay. So this was everything that was released in July as a physical
correct
payment are on those
correct
reports. Okay, that helps me. All right, thank you. That's all
you're
I
welcome
have.
And as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star 1. We'll go next to Jay Morrow.
Hello. I had a couple of quick questions. One of them, you'd mentioned that on that error where you have the where it says that the case failed saving, those are returning with a work case ID in the file. Are you saying that work case ID is actually not being assigned to that claim?
Hi, Jay. This is Katie. Yes, it is not actually creating a work case in our system. It's giving you some fake number. We have checked on our side. The transaction does not do anything. It's not
okay.
A real work case.
All right, and so on those, you recommend just resubmitting them in a
yep.
like a subsequent file? Okay.
Yes, please do that. We get the error, and then when you submit it again, it goes through no problem. It's been very odd.
Okay. Yeah, because I've been recommending that, because I've seen that one come up several times when I've been training people on how to submit the XML files, and we see that one come up occasionally, and I've been suggesting that they just call you up and see what the error message was, so I have not recommended that they resubmit those, so I'll make a note and start telling people that.
Thank you.
Can we get a list of all the errors that the system can generate? Is that available somewhere?
There are the return code you can get. Errors, though. You mean like this error, which is an unusual error?
Well, you know, some of them have a code with them, like the code 8, meaning that the name doesn't match up, and, you know, there are several of those. I was wondering if that list is available somewhere so that, you know, we can determine what to do when particular errors come up.
Yes. We can... If you want, we can post it with the notes for this call. That is, or we can send it to everybody with a blast. That is available. I'll make a note of that.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Yeah, I think that was it that I had. Thank you.
And we'll go back to Eugenia Cox.
Hi. There was one more question that I had. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
When somebody's like an adult disabled child and they're drawing off of a parent, when we try to submit those, it doesn't recognize that Social Security number. What are we supposed to do when that's the case? Because they are cost reimbursement eligible, even if they're drawing off of a parent.
Are you talking about the case that we reviewed earlier today? Because that wasn't the case. The person, like I emailed you back, was not a DAC. If the person is a DAC, it will appear on there. But like I shared with you, that person was not.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is that even when we try to assign the ticket and it doesn't recognize or put it in use, do we need to have that other person's Social Security number to be able to do that?
No.
Okay. And in the cases where the person is 16 to 18 on SSI, at the time we serve them, they wouldn't be ticket eligible. How do we submit those? Will the system accept them?
Yes, it will. And if you're running into an issue where the ticket won't, where it won't, the system won't accept it, then just email us at the help desk. But you shouldn't have that issue.
Okay, so in either case, that should not be happening then.
Right. Correct. If the person is receiving benefits or was receiving benefits for disability, then you shouldn't have that issue.
Yeah. Okay. And the name is...
I just want to jump in. So you can request a VR payment for someone before they have a ticket, but you can't open a ticket if they're not 18. You can't assign the ticket. Is that what you're trying to do, assign it?
No, this isn't about assigning a ticket. This is about a cost reimbursement claim.
Please send it to us.
In those instances where they wouldn't have been ticket eligible at the time of service, but we could still get reimbursed. Yeah. Hello? Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up on us.
Oh, okay. That was the only questions I had. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Scott Brown.
I guess I have a question about the more than 1,000 pending claims. When we have more than 1,000 pending, we cannot access you to send any evidence of PVRs or a transitional work. Is that issue going to be coming through this release as well?
Hi, this is Kitty. Yes, that's also going to be corrected in this release.
Okay, and then I also had a note about the TPR, a notorium. Is that going to be taken care of as well?
We still have a moratorium on TPRs. That has not changed.
Okay.
Just as a reminder, if we were going to lift the moratorium, we would get everyone advance notice that this was happening, as well as you would see reminders and notes and a training session before we even began TPR. So there
okay.
is still a moratorium, and you will get so much notice before we even think of starting.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we'll go back to Jay Morrow.
Yeah, I had one quick question on the RSA code that gets included on each expenditure. My understanding is that that those codes, like the code list, changed here in July. They used to be the 2014 RSA codes. Now they have the 2017 RSA codes. Are those codes, the 2017 ones, going to be accepted by the portal?
This is Katie. No. The portal has not been updated with the 2017 RSA codes. If you need the SSA codes resent, just let me know.
Is the plan to move to those codes in the future, or are they not using those codes moving forward?
Right now, the SSA codes are in the system, and we can continue to use those.
Well, no, I understand that, but some states provide the SSA code, and then some states are currently providing the RSA codes, and they're using the 2014 RSA codes, which is the list that you guys initially set that up with. The portal will just accept those, but there are some codes in the 2017 RSA codes that are going to be different, and so I'm just curious if moving forward they're going to start using those additional codes or accept records with those additional codes, or should we look to switch everything to the SSA code?
Jay, this is the best answer I can give you. So we had the release in March. The codes we have in our system are the SSA and the RSA codes that we sent out, which are the 2014 RSA codes. The next release
yes.
we're planning to have should fix a lot of these production problems. The release after that, we don't even know when that would be, what it would include. So I don't even have a future date to give you when we might think about adding the 2017 RSA codes. Does that help? We're such under the budget, and our resources issue is such in the place where I can't say I know when we're going to start using the RSA codes. We can make sure we give everyone a heads up if we know that we're going to go that direction, but at this point, the safest bet is to use the SSA codes because they are not
okay.
going to change.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And at this time, we have no further questions in the queue.
Thank you, operator. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and send it back over to Regina to close us out.
Okay. Excuse me. Thanks, Raquel. We have had a lot of questions today, very good questions. And don't forget, if after the call you think of other things that you want to ask any of the presenters, Danielle or Raquel or Katie about, or myself, just send those questions to the help desk. And we can address those. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye this afternoon, and we look forward to our next call for the next quarterly all-EN call. Thank you, VR call. Sorry. Thank you.
And that does conclude today's conference. Again, thank you for your participation.